Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. Thank you to Tony Financial Services for this week's scripture, Romans 10:17, which says, "So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God."
And we extend a thank you to Tony Financial Services for that scripture. We partner with them, you know, every week in doing this. Tony Financial Services is a trusted wealth management firm that specializes in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing, help you really maximize what you have, and they're kingdom mind and kingdom focused.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today, we're talking about who is the greatest athletes in the world and a faith that other people hear about.
Okay, and I'm going to slap you with a forehand upside your face because Pastor Jay is going to bring up tennis, but more importantly, a faith that people hear about, a real living, breathing faith.
So Andy Roddick made a statement after the French Open that tennis players are the greatest athletes in the world. And I thought, as soon as he said that, I thought this would be a great thing for me and Davey to talk about on the podcast, because Davey likes to give me a hard time about being a country club athlete, golf and tennis. Andy Roddick says, and he makes a strong argument. Did you watch the finals of the French Open?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Carlos Alcaraz, Yannick Sinner.
Unbelievable.
5 hours, 30 minutes, five setter. I mean, you cannot tell me.
Nadal and Fed-esque.
Yeah, you can't tell me that Carlos Alcaraz is not a great athlete.
All right.
And Yannick Sinner. And the two best tennis players in the world are phenomenal athletes.
I love this.
What you got, brother?
So
you're going to say some big fat offensive lineman is the greatest athlete?
Why are you calling people fat, bro? It's interesting. Let me ask you a question.
I'm just stirring it up a little bit on the podcast.
I enjoy it. I love the start to the podcast. We're getting this going down the right direction. Let me ask you a question. How much has tennis changed since you played?
So you're trying to compare people to John Isner.
I'm asking you a question.
How much has it changed?
How much has the game of tennis changed since you played?
Not much. It's the same game.
Okay.
Same
so
rules.
So the level of athleticism that's in the game now was in the game when you played?
Yeah.
He's literally pointing to himself, by the way. He's literally got his hands pointing to himself. I'll say this. Andy Roddick is the perfect person to talk about this. Andy Roddick couldn't jump over a curb. Andy Roddick is not athletic. Andy Roddick dominated tennis.
How can you say he's not athletic?
I didn't say he didn't have great hand-eye, and I didn't say he wasn't a decent athlete. He's not a great athlete. Hey, listen, we need to define what a great athlete is. Pastor Jay, what's a great athlete to you?
What is a great athlete?
What consists of a great athlete?
That's a good question. I guess
I just love that you don't want to answer because
phenomenal hand-eye coordination.
Okay, hand-eye coordination is one of the buckets for sure.
Speed, strength.
Athleticism.
Vertical leap.
Changing directions.
Athleticism. Okay. Endurance.
Okay. So are you putting Andy Roddick in the great category for that?
I don't know that Andy Roddick is a great example.
Did Andy Roddick dominate tennis for a while? A little stretch? He had a little stretch where he did really well.
No, because you had Federer. And you had Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. Roddick only won one major.
Correct.
Because of all the big three.
Correct, because the big three, who are Roger Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal, who are great athletes. They're great athletes who have great hand-eye coordination, and so they become the best tennis players in the world, the best they've ever seen. Meanwhile, back in the day, that wasn't the case because there weren't great athletes in tennis. Like, tennis was full of a bunch of good athletes, but all the great athletes chose the real sports. They didn't choose tennis.
They chose soccer.
They chose things that actually run up and down a field or compete on a different level. They don't want to go
hit
balls.
So why are you going back to, like, you talking about like Rod Laver and
Borg,
McEnroe,
Borg, you consider them great athletes?
Jimmy Connor, sure.
Great athletes. So by your criteria, jumpers, sprinters, they're great at those things.
Well, look at Ben Shelton.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Ben Shelton is?
No.
You know who Tommy Paul is?
I don't get that
so
one either.
American tennis, we're finally back. We have three of the top 10 players in the world. Taylor Fritz, Ben Shelton, and Tommy Paul. Now, Ben Shelton, he is super ripped. I mean, you would be impressed with him. Like, he could be playing.
Like, ripped now?
Yeah, he's ripped now.
Okay, so he looks good.
Yeah, he's like 21 years old. I mean,
he's young.
He's a stud. Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't believe you don't know Ben Shelton is.
I'll be honest.
They've been looking at Coco Gauff, like who won the female. Who
I saw
won the
that. Yeah.
I mean, she's an incredible athlete.
I say this. I used to wake up to watch the French Open. The Australian Open. I used to wake up at 3 in the morning to watch it because I had vested interest with Fish and James Blake and those guys. But I'll say, and I still followed it with Fed and Nadal. But when Fed and Nadal got out, like it doesn't do the same thing for me. Like those two were just, couldn't be any more different personalities, raisings, style of play, one barbarian, one graceful, elegant dancer. Like I fell in love with that dynamic, and since that point, I don't love it as much.
Yeah, I think we've got at least Alcaraz and Sinner. We got a top two right now. I mean, those two guys, I think, have won the last six or seven majors. Djokovic is going to win another one. He's 39.
He's not going to. You don't think?
He's not. He's too old.
You think he's done?
He's done. Yeah, there's no way. In tennis, you get in your late 30s. There's no way. You could still
Fed
play foot. You could still play NFL, but he didn't win any tournament. He didn't win any majors.
Yeah.
No, you once you're past
we
say, 30,
AI again,
35,
like we talked about last podcast.
Past 35 years old, you're not going to win it. He's not going to win it. These other guys are too young. They're too athletic. They're too in shape. And so
you're just not.
I think it's a great argument.
LeBron's playing at 40 in the NBA. Yeah. It's called a great athlete.
There you go.
Great athlete.
You can be in your 40s and play football and basketball and baseball. But tennis. Tennis, you got to be out there for 5 hours. You got to play
That's what I find.
You got to be in shape.
You've got to be in shape. But don't act like.
Otherwise, you're cramping.
But I love that Roddick. Listen, Roddick should defend tennis players. But to act like Roddick and those guys could make it through 2 hours in football pads hitting people on a field, they would die.
It's just a different sport.
They would die. They would physically die. Like, they would have a 0% chance to ever make it through one conditioning with an NFL team. They couldn't even make it through a workout.
Well, you keep comparing, but what about Carlos Alcaraz or Ben Shelton or Tommy Paul or one of these other
Those guys would get hit in the mouth one time and want to go cry to their mother. Shut the front door.
I
do think tennis players have become more and more athletic, obviously past your generation, but like they've become more athletic. They're definitely running more, and you see them putting more balls in play, which has been cool to see over the years, and it makes it a 5.5 hour match, and it makes you have to grind. And it does. That's what I loved about Nadal, man. Nadal took people to deep waters and drowned them. Like, I freaking love that.
And that's what's great about the majors is because it's the best 3 out of 5 sets. And there's only 4 majors, which I don't even watch tennis other than the majors, to be honest. But
what tennis player could play another sport and be remotely successful?
Carlos Alcaraz could play soccer. He'd be a world-class soccer player.
Soccer. Okay, like a real sport.
That's the biggest sport in the world. No,
an American sport that anybody cares about.
Ben Shelton could play football. Have you seen the guy?
Oh, my gosh. you do realize it's just like anything else. Like when you look at all, like Tiger Woods looks enormous. He looks jacked. And when he's next to you, standing next to you, he looks like he's tiny. Like it's because the guys are so tiny and so small, like around, that they look bigger when you actually have just a little bit of muscle, but you really are not a, like I'd stand next to him and look like Shaq. Have you ever seen the Shaq? Have you ever seen Shaq next to The Rock, by the way?
I think you're underestimating.
That picture of Shaq next to The Rock looks like a little child. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
And The Rock looks like a superhuman mutant figure, but.
I mean, Ben Shelton's a stud, but I would say NBA basketball players, in my opinion.
Are the best athletes?
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying the tennis thing just to get under your skin a little bit.
Well, no, but I like Roddick coming to bat for those guys. And I agree that there should be more. We should give more respect to them as athletes because they're stopping and starting and stuff is really great now, and their athleticism is better than it was.
All have like a physio team. Yeah, they have a dietitian.
Go over the line and let's get to something else because this is you're doing a good job, but like we're past this now. Everybody just passed out and fell asleep.
So I want to talk about today a faith that others have heard about. And we're studying through the book of Colossians at church, and there's a passage description, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 says, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. I want to talk about a faith that other people hear about. What are your thoughts on that? Having the kind of faith that other people hear about.
I think it's cool because it immediately gets you thinking about like how do people think about my faith, and I think that's a good thing. Like, mm-hmm. How do I share my faith? It kind of reminds me of Bible accounts. They're not stories, by the way, because stories are made up. Accounts are real, so they're Bible accounts. I think everything about it's really really cool, and it's purposeful. Like it's purposeful living and. Somebody that's living on time, like that's living like for a reason. And I think that's really, really dope and really cool to think about. I want to be one of those people. I want to live one of those lives that people are like, man, that dude, he stands for what's right. He stands for what's good. Like he stands for Jesus. Like I
think you are one of those.
I want to strive to be one of those people.
I think there are a lot of people, they've heard about your faith. I mean, they've heard about David Pollack being Christian. And they've heard about you taking a stand for your faith and taking a stand for even things like the covenant of marriage or gender issues or, you know what I mean? Like, I do think you're a person that people have heard of your faith.
That's what we're doing here, hopefully.
I mean, that's
hopefully
whole,
why we're doing
the
this.
The whole point of the podcast is spreading the good news. I had a couple of points. How do you have a faith that other people hear about? I think, one, you have to have a faith that takes action. You know, the people, Daniel 11:32b says, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. And so are you displaying strength? Are you taking action? When people look at you, do they think of someone, and that's a person of faith. I mean, that's a person who is not only talking the talk, but they're walking the walk. You know, that James talks about, faith without deeds is dead. Like, what's the point of talking about your faith if you don't have the actions to back it up? You're not doing anything about it. So,
no.
I mean, a faith, putting some work to your faith.
I mean, it's. I don't know many people that follow individuals or follow, and when I follow, not like social media, I'm talking about like really follow, like pattern their lives after people that don't have deeds. Like I don't know.
They don't have receipts. Yeah, show me your receipts.
I like that. Receipts is really good. I mean, yeah. You don't follow people that talk a big game. Like I think you can be fooled by people when you're younger, but as you get older, I think you're like, okay, like now I'm good. Hard pass. Like I'm out. Like sure, they tell me this, but you know, I got friends that are, you know, will tell me certain things and then, you know, you hear them talking other times and you're disappointed. You're like, I don't love that. You know what I'm saying? But like, I think you, you want to follow people, you get enticed and you get enthralled with leaders and people that like lead, that lead their family, that talk with a presence, that talk with command, that like when they say something, you know it's the truth and you know they're going to do it. Like, it's not lip service. It's not what I want to hear. It's not what I need. You know, what they think is best. Like, it's literally somebody that's walking, talking, doing, and has a living, breathing faith. Like, you just don't, I don't think you follow people that don't actively do the things that you are proud of or that you want to emulate.
Mm-hmm. And I think striving to be that kind of person that you're known, not only that you talk the talk, but that you're walking the walk. And so getting back to the Colossians, he says, because we've heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. They knew about their faith because they put their faith in action. They're truly loving others. And I talked in the message that true faith leads to loving others. I love what it says in 1 John 3:18. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And so true faith is doing what Jesus told us to do, which is to not only love God, but to love other people.
Well, and the Bible's so fun, right? Because it's so, there's so many things to take in, to ingest, and there's so many, you know, stages of what that is. Like, it's interesting. What was Paul heard about? You know, like, what did he hear about? What was remarkable about the faith? You know, like, what were the things that were so encouraging to him? Because this is a different time. Like, this is a totally different time. Like, you know, those are fun things to think about. Like, what would somebody hear about now that would be encouraging? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this dude does this with, they take care of the homeless. You know, like, they take care of people in need. They treat people with kindness. Like, they'll have a conversation with you on a driving range when you're trying to play golf, you know, like chipper. So, I mean, just finding like those things are fun. And I think it's so important when you take scripture, you take it in the context of when it's being written, who it's being written to, like all of those things are really intriguing to me. But I think it's always the people you want to follow, the people you want to be around if you're truly trying to be successful are the doers. Mm-hmm. It's not the talkers. Like the talkers, after a while, you get pretty worn out. Yeah. But like the people that are accomplishing and doing and going, man, you're like, I can get down with that.
Yeah, it says in James 1:27 that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, a faith that other people are talking about is a faith that is caring for the least of these. A faith that is cares for the things that are close to the heart of God, and orphans are close to the heart of God. Widows are close to the heart of God. And I'm so encouraged with our church because we've had so much focus here recently on, like, we have a bunch of, you know, a list of widows in the church. And so reaching out to them is like, hey, what do you need help with? And so we've been having guys showing up at ladies' houses.
That sounds weird.
Widows' houses, older people who can't do their own yard work. So the guys are coming. Hey, I need this stuff moved out of my yard, or I need these hedges trimmed, or I need this wheelchair ramp
that is,
built.
That, you know, so every time you talk about that in church, man, I get chills, and it just makes me so proud to be a part of our church. Like, yeah. I mean, it's so simple. Like, that's so simple.
It's so simple.
It's so easy, but we don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I know Lindsay's getting involved in feeding the poor.
Yeah,
but
I think the widows and orphans. Mm-hmm. Why is it phrased like that? Why is it phrased taking care of widows and orphans? Because if you're looking back in the day, widows and orphans, they had absolutely nothing. So guess what they could do for you? Absolutely nothing. These are people that you're doing something for. You're not going to get anything in return. So that's the heart.
That's
the spirit of what we're talking. That's the spirit of that scripture right there is doing stuff for people that you don't get recognition. You don't get money. You don't get anything. You don't get a dinner. You don't get a reimbursement. Like, there is no reciprocation down the road. Like, you're doing this because you know you should do this. You know that you're doing this because it's important to God. Like, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I love that. One of the things that are jokes that I've kind of told the church is our vision is not just to get cheeks in the seats, but to get feet to the streets.
It's pretty dope.
And so
it's a good rhyme.
You're not hearing about people's faith like, oh, we had 1,000 people at a church service. Or you know what I mean? It's more like we're ministering to the poor. We're feeding the hungry. We're clothing the widows. We're bringing foster children into our homes. We're adopting kids from other countries. Like it's getting out and ministering to people. And what I love about this is a lot of the men are really getting involved because, I mean, one, it's fun, like getting a chainsaw in your hand, like running a chainsaw and cutting up logs.
I don't understand that.
That's fun stuff. Building things.
Why is that fun?
That's how God created us to do manly stuff, you know, like crank up some chainsaws, man, drill some holes, hammer some nails, haul some stuff off.
I guess God didn't give me that. he didn't create me that way. I've never cranked a chainsaw and been like, whoa, like, man, and, buddy, I feel great.
It's fun, man. It's just.
It's video games and lifting weights and running, and I get it from that. How about your sauna workouts? Does that make you feel like you're made for more?
Yes. I love getting in the sauna. Like it's like it just you feel good about yourself. You get those endorphins going. You get that cardio going. You start sweating.
It's not cardio. Are you jogging or are you sitting?
I'm sitting.
That's not cardio.
It's kind of like a phone booth. I'm pretty tired.
I heard Kid Rock.
Why are we giving Pastor Jay a hard time?
I heard Kid Rock talking about his morning routine on one of the podcasts or something. Like it's so random, by the way. Ball with the ball, the bang, diggy, diggy. Kid Rock was talking about how he gets in the sauna and he has a bike in the sauna.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he bikes in the sauna. So you talk about like sweat and gravy. Like, so that would be, he could say that getting my cardio going, that's cardio. You're sitting your butt on a seat. That's not cardio. That's not cardio.
It's simulated
cardio.
Do some research.
I understand what you're saying.
You ever get in the sauna?
No, I'm not a sauna guy. I prefer to go like work. But when I do get in the sauna, I do push-ups, sit-ups, and jog in place, and I like to do that. But anyways, okay, great quote. Great quote from Tom Rinaldi when we had it on our podcast. It's pertaining to us. I see better than I hear. And I forget what coach he tied that to. But it was, Sean McVay. It was Sean McVay from the Rams. Thank you, Wes.
I like that. I see better than I hear.
And just all the things of people that they tell you they're going to do, they want to do, they want to get accomplished. But, you know, I'm watching you on a daily basis, and I see a lot better than I hear. And I'm seeing what you're putting into it, and I'm seeing what you're doing. And when you're doing things for the community and for those who, you know, like what we're doing with the church, not weak. I'm not doing any of it, to be clear. Like, it's just, it's fantastic.
Well, your wife is doing
it. I just didn't want to make sure I didn't, like, I'm not taking credit for that. Like, again, I didn't get I don't build things and I don't do chainsaws. I mean, and I'm not a manly man.
One of the, as we're getting into the book of Colossians, he talks about the faith that he had heard about because of the love that they have for all the saints. And then I love this prayer of encouragement that Paul prays for the church in Colossae. But one of the things he prays, and this is in Colossians chapter 1, he says, I think it's verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every way, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. But I love the idea of keep seeking spiritual wisdom and growing in our knowledge of God and his will. Like I think so many times we think we already know everything, mm-hmm. but I love the idea of showing up to church or showing up for this podcast or showing up for a small group or a Bible study. Like God is going to teach me something new today. Like God's going to give me some spiritual wisdom today that I didn't know before. Like he's going to give new revelation.
It might be something I've heard a million times, but if you do listen and open your heart, a lot of times it will hit you different.
Yeah,
like if you'll allow yourself to, like, that's the problem with me sometimes is when people are talking to, like, you start thinking about the next thing you want to say and you don't really listen and you're like, shut up and listen. And it's the same thing when I read the word. I'm like, I've read this 4 million times. Like, I'm going through Samuel now, and I'm just, you go, I've read this. But like, mm-hmm. God, what's the new message? Like, what's this? What am I supposed to take from this for today? Like, so I can go live this. And I think we've got to get out of the mindset of we've got it all figured out and we are the only one that knows the answers and we know this and like, but just consistently, God, how can I take these little nuggets, these little things, these little relationships I have, like, God, close some doors that don't need to be opened and open some doors that are cracked, you know, like, but continue to seek and don't think you have it all together, which we all have a tendency to, I got this. Well, you know, like, if you say, I got this enough, I promise you won't be saying it soon.
Yeah, I love the mentality of going into anything like, okay, God, what's one new thing I can learn about you? What's one new thing I can learn about myself? What's something I can like, what is some new revelation? I think a lot of people come to church because they're just coming to church. Like, their purpose for coming is to come
check
to
a
church,
box.
To check a box. Like, yeah. Well, I go to church because I'm supposed to go to church. But if we think about when the body of Christ gathers for worship, two or more gathered, Christ is there. His man, now he's with us always, but there's something special when we're with fellow believers in a worship setting. The manifest presence of God is there, and he's going to teach us something that we didn't previously know before we showed up.
Well,
so
if we listen and if we have open mind, open hearts, like, and I think that's a prayer you've heard, like, God, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear, like, we have to come in with our part for sure, but there's always something to learn.
So what's your deeper meaning for going to church? Like, what's your why? Like, what, cause you and your family are in church every Sunday. Your wife's, Lindsay had brain surgery on Wednesday and was at church on Sunday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're not taking every day, no days off.
Every day counts.
Every
baby.
Day counts. Like, like every Sunday counts. Yeah. Like, what's your why? I mean, what's your deeper meaning? You're not just coming to church to check a box.
Nah, well, I mean, but I have before. I've done that at times in my life where I'm supposed to do this. I think church to our family has just got, and it's, I was so excited a couple weeks ago. We were out of town and we were in church where we were at. Nicholas was home by himself and he got up and went to church. And I love that. And I think it's because a lot of that is like, that's just what we do on Sundays, you know? But I think to me, it's the same thing. It's like, to me, it refocuses me. It re-energizes me. It starts my week off the absolute right way, the right direction. There's nothing in this world, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, there's nothing to me better than praise music. I mean, I just, worshiping God in the house of God with his music, praising him, mm-hmm. The hands find a way to open up, and like, I love it. Like, I love every second of that, and that's, it fulfills me. Like, it definitely, and then obviously the messages, and taking notes, and taking all those notes, and trying to beat you to the notes, by the way, trying to write the notes in before you get there, which is always a thing. And this past week, Lindsay was actually using her Bible to look up scripture to fill in the blank.
Answer the questions.
And I was like, yeah, we got problems, babe. Then I grade myself on how many I get right and wrong. But like, I think it's being able to take that, and then I know I'm going to get something that I can apply to my life like that week and a thought process for that day. And that's just, it's critically important, man. And I would argue it's just as important every other day of the week too. But when they're not doing it for you, you got to do it yourself, and you got to find those mechanisms and those things that make it kick. Like, I like to just, right now, I'm just getting up and reading a chapter every morning of Samuel. And like, it's fantastic. I love doing it. I go straight from there to my prayer tub for, you know, 20 minutes, sometimes 30, you know, whatever it is early in the morning before the sun's up most of the time. And those are things that work for me that help to build that relationship with God and help to live the best version of me. For me to live the best version of me, I need to be in church. I have to be in church. Like, it has to be a part of my life. It's just, my life isn't the same without it. And I'd probably do it 3 or 4 days a week if we did. Like, it would be fantastic. It'd be really hard for you because you'd have to find material, a lot more material.
Well, I mean, small groups and One of the things the guys were telling me at lunch yesterday, and this group of guys, they're in a couple small groups together, they're in men's group together, they're doing the dinner and a movie night together. But they said every time I give a message, like they were just talking about, like I didn't see the movie that they watched, but my message on Sunday tied to that movie. Or I wasn't doing the Bible study that they were doing, but the message, like, does that happen to you? Like something you're thinking, something you're studying, and the next thing you know, God shows it to you in another way. Like it all, I think that's it how all you know, ties together.
I think that's how you know you're in the right church.
Yeah. What you're studying, you're in the Word.
I think God's, the message should feel like he's speaking to you. Mm-hmm. Like you should feel like, man, this message was made for me. Like this is, I'm struggling a little bit. I needed to hear that. I think that's, you should have that feeling often. Like this is on point. This is on time. This is what I needed to hear when I needed to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So the first application question is, why do you come to church? The second is, and this is the challenge for you, is how are you being the church? And you said, Lindsay's doing all of it. And I heard a guy tell me one time, I said, why are you serving in the church? And he said, no, my wife's doing enough for the both of us. It's like, well, that doesn't count for you, buddy. Like, you know, you're going to be held accountable to, I mean, we're going to be held accountable to the work that we do here on earth. So I want to challenge you, get out and be the church. Don't just let Lindsay be the one going out serving in the food pantries.
No, and I think that will look different for all of us for sure. And your times, your talents, your treasures, and what you do. But it's not an option. It's not like a suggestion in the Bible. Like it's required of us to continue to live out our faith, to share our faith, to love. Like those weren't like, you know, if you get time, how about your boy? Like that's not, it's not how it was written in the Bible.
Yeah. I liked what you said. What you see is louder than what you hear, or what
I see better than I hear. You weren't listening very well, apparently.
I wrote it down though.
But you weren't listening, apparently.
A pencil that is better than a short memory?
A long pencil.
Short pencil
eraser,
is better than
a
long
nice
memory.
Eraser is better than a...
But what I was going to say is, I mean, you have the opportunity every day to be the church, because especially because of your platform and people know who you are, you know, out in public. And so you have an opportunity to make someone's day, minister to someone, encourage someone. You know what I mean? Like
100%.
It's different than someone else.
Well, I think we all do in different capacities. Mm-hmm. But I pray that frequently. I mean, I went to the U.S. Open on the Saturday before the Sunday, the whatever that's called, the Saturday before the championship. I guess the round before the last round.
Yeah.
And
move-in day, I think they call it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. Watching golf's about like watching tennis. But like, I pray consistently. I'm like, God, this is a new opportunity. This is new faces. This is a new place. Like, there's probably somebody I'm supposed to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, give me the courage to do it. You know, and I ended up talking to a couple of Ohio State wrestlers that were there and talked to them about their faith. And I was like, it was a perfect opportunity. You know, like. Like try to seek it. Try to look for it. I think if you look for it, you'll find it. Like I think the problem is when we live and we go and we do and we don't look for it. But I do think that God gives you plenty of opportunities. But sometimes we don't notice the opportunities, and sometimes we don't work for the opportunities, and sometimes we pass on the opportunities and be like, eh. And I've done that. I've been like, crap. Like I should have just grabbed that person and prayed with them. Like, I should have done X, I should have done Y. I think the older you get and the stronger you get in your faith and the more you get in prayer with God and communion with God, I think the more you'll see those opportunities continue to provide themselves and just try to answer them, right? And try to plug in to those opportunities, and because they're there and they're searching for someone to do it. And a lot of times it's just you.